This evening we're going to be looking at the question of whatever happened to sin. The question for 2 weeks ago is, what is the law of God? And you heard it. And then the question is, are we able to keep it? And the answer is no, we cannot, because we're prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. And now tonight, we ask this question, whose fault is it? Did God create man so wicked and perverse? Is it God's fault? Is sin God's fault? And the answer is no, it's not. On the contrary, God created man good. I'm reading from Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 3, printed on your bulletin on page 6. No, God created man good and in his own image, that is in true righteousness and holiness, so that he might rightly know God, his creator, love him with his whole heart, and live with him in eternal blessedness, praising and glorifying him. That's how God made man. Where did this corruption come from then? And the answer is it came from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, whereby our human life is so poisoned that we all are conceived and born in the state of sin. Is there any hope? But are we so perverted that we are altogether unable to do good and prone to do evil? Yes. And here's the hope. And here's the good news. Unless we are born again through the Spirit of God. Let's look at the scripture here. Genesis chapter 1. We read about the man God made. Genesis 1 is the marvelous story of God's creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you know how that goes. In 6 successive days, God created all things, and finally, at the end of that creation cycle, God created man. And then we read this. Then God said, let us make man in our image. This is Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, that is men and women, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. That's chapter 1. And then chapter 2, it speaks of the fact that God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. And God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and he put the man there whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, And the tree of life was in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we read that God said, this is verse 18, and God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heaven, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called every living thing, that was its name. And the man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her unto the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and the wife were both naked and were not ashamed. That was the man God made. Then we have the man man-made. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, the serpent said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's the man man-made. And the man remade is found in that wonderful 15th verse where God promised a Savior. Before we open this, let's seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, bless this word unto our hearts this evening. We thank You, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. Help us to understand it and to embrace it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question is, what in the world is wrong today? We are living in a moral free fall in our country. You never really know what you're going to hear. If you thought you heard something really, really startling and bad, you're going to hear it more yet. The state of California sponsored and legislature passed a law that says you can determine your own gender. You can determine whether you are a male or a female. You can determine that. And so parents can determine if their child is a boy child or a girl child. I mean, how utterly nonsense this is. But we are living in a morally bankrupt culture. It's so similar to the days of the judges. There was no king in Israel, so everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We're living in that kind of age right now. It is difficult. It's difficult. It's very important for us who know the Lord and who believe in the Bible and who believe that the law is 10 commandments and not 10 suggestions and take your pick. But we believe that in the moral law of God, that it is the truth, and that the Bible is the truth. And we hold these truths to be absolutely final. They're the final statement of the Almighty God, that God created the heavens and the earth, and He did it by His power, by His word. God said, let there be light. God said, let the seas swarm with fish. God said it by the word of His mouth. God is the creator and we are the creature, and everything He made was good. There was no flaw in it. There was nothing inadequate in the creation that God made. And man was the crown of creation, the climax of creation, and the center of it. Creation, as recorded in Genesis, took place in 6 days. And it was in orderly fashion. This was God's plan. This was what God said, and this is what happened. And man was created at the end of that time. Everything was ready for man to come on the scene. There was food. There were animals. There was God's perfect order, and then man was made and placed at the very center of creation. Man is the crown of creation. Human beings are different than the Creator. They are also different than animals. There are similarities between the anatomy of an animal and the anatomy of man. There's similarities because there's one architect. And that one architect is the Lord, God Almighty. And so scientists can look at the anatomy of one of the creatures, whatever it is, and you see similarities between the makeup of the animal's body with the makeup of man's body. So you can study. I remember in Grand Rapids Christian High in our biology class, we dissected a frog. We dissected a cat. There's similarity. Each of God's creatures has a heart and lungs, and they breathe. They have blood. And so you can study how man is made up but looking at how God created other of His creatures. It just shows that there's one architect. There's one intelligent design. There is a perfect order to it all. God made man in His image. We reflect our Maker. There is a qualitative difference between man and an animal. A qualitative difference. Man is made to reflect his Maker. Made in the image of God. We are to represent God on earth. We are His image bearers. With true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness in the beginning. That is the image of God in its narrow sense. Man was created in that way. It's found in the Old Testament, it's found in the New Testament. That man is an image bearer of God with true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. That he might rightly know his Creator, that he might be pure, holy, and righteous. That's how God made man. Man from the hand of God was a perfect creature, a beautiful creation. And that's a wonderful thing. But it didn't stay there. I remember I taught a course in Reformed doctrine at Central Wisconsin Christian High School in Waupun, Wisconsin. And I was explaining this very thing to the class of seniors. And there was a boy in the class who did not have a Christian upbringing at all. He was new to the faith. And so I told him about God's creation and about the fall of man. And this young man, his name was Harry, he raised his hand and he said, "Did man ever get the image of God back? Did he ever get it back?" Well, in the fall, man lost the image of God in its narrow sense. But in its broader sense, man remained an image bearer of God. Even the unbeliever is an image bearer of God. He is not an animal. He is an image bearer of God. He has a mind, a will, emotions. He is an image bearer of God. And the call of God in the beginning is still the call of God today. Cultivate the garden. Bring out its potential. That's the call of God to all mankind. Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So I said to Harry, I said, "You know, God sent someone into the world who was the exact image of God. And that's Jesus Christ. And to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are renewed in the original image of God. They are renewed in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. A child of God is not perfect. We still are sinners. But a child of God is justified, so he has the righteousness of Christ imputed to him. A child of God is one who has true knowledge given by the Holy Spirit that we may rightly know Him. A child of God also has the Holy Spirit and is in the process of sanctification. So he says he has holiness, not perfect, not complete holiness. We struggle against sin all our life. But the image of God is renewed in us." You find that in Ephesians 4, verse 24, and Colossians 3, verse 10. That those in Christ are a new person, created according to the image of God in knowledge, in holiness, and righteousness. But not all men, not all human beings are that. It's only those who are in Christ. So the image of God is restored in those who are born again. So that's what I said to Harry. And so the Lord, from His hand, created a perfect human being. And His wife, male and female, created He them. But the man-made is a terrible thing. Genesis 3 is an awful, awful reality. Into this perfect garden came the serpent. And he says to the woman, did God say you couldn't eat of any of the trees of the garden? No, says Eve. He didn't say that. He said, do not eat any of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, because if you eat of it or even touch it, you will surely die. So no doubt Adam told her that, because she was not alive at the time when God gave that probationary command. So she hears from Adam. Adam says, now that tree in the middle of the garden, don't even touch it. So she says to Satan, no, we may not eat of it or touch it, lest we die. But Eve's problem was that she listened to the doubt which Satan had placed in her heart. Did God say, you may not eat of any of the trees of the garden? So that doubt was planted in Eve's heart, and she let it be there. And then she entered into a discussion with Satan. That's a terrible thing. We must never enter into a discussion with Satan. Resist the devil is what the Bible says, and he will flee from you. Don't enter into a debate with him. Don't go into a discussion. You will never out-debate Satan. Only Jesus could. When Satan tempted Jesus, the perfect Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus answered him each time, it is written. Jesus didn't go into a discussion with Satan. We may never do that, because we'll never outwit Satan. We can only lay hold of the Scripture, which is the sword of the Spirit. Like Paul says in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against all the wiles of the devil. The truth of God must be your belt, the righteousness of Christ your breastplate, the gospel that which guards and strengthens your feet. You must have the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith by which you can quench the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't go into a discussion with Satan. That's what Eve did. That was disaster. So there was a doubt that was planted in her. And then she entered into a discussion. And then she saw the fruit that it was good. And there was a desire to take it because it was good. And she adopted Satan's words. It would make her wise. So she goes ahead and takes it. Doubt, discussion, desire, and then the deed. She took the fruit and she ate precisely what God had forbidden. God had said, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. She defied the word of God. She took of the fruit and she ate, and she gave to Adam, who was next to her, and he ate. And immediately they saw they were naked. Immediately they saw what they had done. Immediately they were afraid. There was a rupture of that wonderful relationship that Adam and Eve had together and with their Heavenly Father. They loved Him. They walked and talked with Him. Adam named all the animals. They all came to Him to get their names. I mean, Adam and Eve were in close fellowship with our Heavenly Father. They loved Him and they enjoyed His fellowship in the Garden of Eden. But when they ate of the fruit, that was all done. They were afraid. They hid themselves instead of going toward God. They ran away from Him. They were ashamed because they were naked. And they made fig leaf loincloth for themselves. I mean, what a tragedy. What an utter tragedy. And the thing that complicates it all is that Adam is the head of the human race. And what he did has implications for everyone that follows him. As the New England Primer says, they have a saying for every letter. A, in Adam's fall we sin all. That's how the children in New England, in the early days of our country, that's how they learned the alphabet. Now it's not believed. It isn't believed by many. Sin isn't called sin anymore. It's called maybe stupidity, maybe a mistake, but don't call it sin. It just isn't sin anymore. We are living in that kind of culture. And we've got to instruct our children to define what God calls sin to be sin. And sin is horrible. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Adam and Eve, by their sin, they brought into existence everything that sin brings. Death is the ultimate. But disease, trouble, crime, all of the evils that you see in the world today, all are because of sin. The poverty, racism, hatred, jealousy, prejudice, all these things in the world and in our hearts too. We have to fight against all these results of sin. So that's what happened. That's reality. It's not God's fault. God made man good and in his own image, endowed with true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, that he might live with God and love him all his life. That's how God made us. It was beautiful. But the man made is ugly, is horrible. But thank God, the Lord didn't leave us in that state. God said, actually, here in the third chapter of Genesis, he says to Satan, I am going to put enmity. I am going to show you where the real issue is. I'm going to put enmity. I'm going to put warfare. I'm going to put the conflict where it ought to be. You see, Adam had said to the Lord, the woman you gave me. So he blames the woman. The Lord says, that's not the issue. She's not the problem. She's not the problem. I will tell you where the problem is. I am going to put enmity and conflict and warfare between you, Satan, and the woman. That's where it's at. That's the antithesis. That's the conflict that is throughout all of history. It's between Satan and the woman, between his seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, but he, the seed of the woman, will crush the head of the serpent. That was the mother promise, the first promise that God gave concerning a redeemer. That is the good news. And that's why the song that Andy sang is so appropriate. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There is an answer to the problem of sin and evil, and the answer is Jesus Christ. He is the seed of the woman. He came and he crushed the head of the serpent. The serpent didn't go down easy. You read in Revelation 12 how there was the vision of the woman ready to give birth to a child, and Satan was right there to try and destroy that child as soon as it was born. Satan was active in the actions of Herod. Satan was active all through Jesus' earthly life. The work of the evil one was there. And he was in conflict with Christ, and Christ overcame. He won the victory. Up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Jesus Christ is the answer. And what a wonderful thing it is. The man God made was beautiful. The man made was ugly. But the man remade in Jesus Christ is beautiful again. And so that is the gospel. Jesus is the answer. And everyone said, Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this gospel, for the good news in Jesus Christ our Lord, our Redeemer, by whose blood we are saved, who paid the price of sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless us this night. Forgive our sins. Lead us and guide us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.